the general suite. So far as I could see, the party had already gained some notoriety in the place, which had come to look upon the general as a Russian nobleman of great wealth. Indeed, even before luncheon he charged me, among other things, to get 2,000 franc notes changed for him at the hotel counter, which put us in a position to be thought millionaires at all events for a week. Later, I was about to take Misha and Nadia for a walk when a summons reached me from the staircase that I must attend the general. He began by deigning to inquire of me where I was going to take the children, and as he did so, I could see that he failed to look me in the eyes. He wanted to do so, but each time was met by me with such a fixed, disrespectful stare that he desisted in confusion. In pompous language, however, which jumbled one sentence into another, and at length grew disconnected, he gave me to understand that I was to lead the children altogether away from the casino and out into the park. Finally, his anger exploded, and he added sharply, "I suppose you would like to take them to the casino to play roulette. Well, excuse my speaking so plainly, but I know how addicted you are to gambling. Though I am not your mentor, nor wish to be, at least I have a right to require that you shall not actually compromise me." "I have no money for gambling," I quietly replied. "But you will soon be in receipt of some," retorted the general, reddening a little as he dived into his writing desk and applied himself to a memorandum book. From it, he saw that he had 120 rubles of mine in his keeping. "Let us calculate," he went on. "We must translate these rubles into dollars. Here, take 100 dollars as a round sum. The rest will be safe in my hands." In silence, I took the money. "You must not be offended at what I say," he continued. "You are too touchy about these things. What I have said merely as a warning. To do so is no more than my right." When returning home with the children before luncheon, I met a cavalcade of our party riding to view some ruins. Two splendid carriages, magnificently horsed with Mashal. Blanche, Maria Filipovna, and Polina Alexandrovna in one of them, and the Frenchman, the Englishman, and the general in attendance on horseback. The passers-by stopped to stare at them, for the effect was splendid, the general could not have improved upon it. I calculated that, with the 4,000 francs which I had brought with me, added to what my patron seemed already to have acquired, the party must be in possession of at least 7,000 or 8,000 francs, though that would be none too much for Mashal. Blanche, who, with her mother and the Frenchman, was also lodging in our hotel. The latter gentleman was called by the lackeys, Monsieur le Comte and Mashal. Blanche's mother was dubbed Madame la Comtesse. Perhaps in very truth they were Comte et Comtesse. I knew that Monsieur le Comte would take no notice of me when we met at dinner, as also that the general would not dream of introducing us, nor of recommending me to the Comte. However, the latter had lived a while in Russia, and knew that the person referred to as an Uchitel is never looked upon as a bird of fine feather. Of course, strictly speaking, he knew me, but I was an uninvited guest at the luncheon. The general had forgotten to arrange otherwise, or I should have been dispatched to dine at the table d'hôte. Nevertheless, I presented myself in such guise that the general looked at me with a touch of approval, and though the good Maria Filipovna was for showing me my place, the fact of my having previously met the Englishman, Mr. Astley, saved me, and thenceforward I figured as one of the company. This strange Englishman I had met first in Prussia, where we had happened to sit vis-a-vis in a railway train in which I was traveling to overtake our party, while later I had run across him in France and again in Switzerland, twice within the space of 2 weeks. To think, therefore, that I should suddenly encounter him again here in Roulettenberg. Never in my life had I known a more retiring man, for he was shy to the pitch of imbecility, yet well aware of the fact, for he was no fool. At the same time he was a gentle, amiable sort of an individual, and even on our first encounter in Prussia I had contrived to draw him out, and he had told me that he had just been to the North Cape, and was now anxious to visit the fair at Nizhny Novgorod. How he had come to make the general's acquaintance I do not know, but apparently he was much struck with Polina.